The Life Engine, written by Rick Baker, narrated by Jeffrey Knight. Prologue, Ori Weyu. Guiana Highlands, Brazil. At 3 a.m, April Gentry was still waiting for her pilot at the Hamoxi airfield in northern Brazil. The place was little more than a 100-yard strip of dusty hard pack. No lights, no terminal, just an old shanty to keep the rain off the shortwave radio, hand-cranked Texaco gas pumps left over from World War II, and a field littered with abandoned aircraft bodies scavenged for parts to patch up machines still worthy of the sky. Wind whipped at April's hair as she blinked away at the stinging grit and fought the strain of 20 hours of non-stop travel. No matter how long the journey, once she arrived, she was content just to be here. Wild things lurked in the fringe of the trees, grunts and hoots that knew her name, air thick with must and spice and sound. This place, this portal to the wild world, was still teaching her lessons. It was impossible to get here in a hurry, and April could only persuade herself to leave by promising to carry its story, whisper its miracles to that other world, the world drunk on consumption. Dressed in functional clothes, her favorite trekking shirt, lightweight boots, and rail rider pants, April could pass for a journalist, a safari tour guide, or Indiana Jones' long-lost daughter. She was, in fact, a doctor of environmental science and the youngest member of the Earth Sciences Directorate for NASA's Goddard Space Institute, a mouthful of titles for a woman just shy of 30. As the wind-scattered chafe across the clearing, childhood images swirled in April's mind, making rounds to local villages on her first trip to Hamoxi with her father. The eyes of the children agog at her appearance, a hunter offering a pull of his bowstring, a wise woman's pierced-lipped smile bidding April to come grind flour with her and the other women, a warrior mugging his scariest face. "Be afraid of me, pale girl." Something about this night summoned the full essence of her father, not just his cooing words as he spoke word kisses in her ear, or the way his hands never left her shoulders, or how he gave her his eyes whenever she had questions, and she had so many questions. It was the way the green-black darkness seemed to call her back, the whispers of the past mingling with the voices of the wind. April's home school was a place where little girls dipped arrows in poison, sparked fires with flint, and skinned animals for pots boiling with frothy stews. Recess was splashing beneath a waterfall where a decrepit crocodile kept guard on the banks. They were only allowed to swim when they could see him. April reached for a wooden pendant around her neck and rubbed her thumb and her forefinger across its ancient surface. It was a gift from her father's lifelong friend and partner, Emilio Cortez. "It's an honor to finally meet you, Señor Cortez," April said when she first met him. He looked like a bear with Buddha's smile. Cortez howled at her formality and hugged her as if she were one of his cubs. "Kids call me Big Papa." At the evening meal, Cortez sized up his young protege. "The children call you Ori Weyu, one of the tribal languages. It means sun girl. Do you like this name?" April beamed as he presented her to the tribe. Ori Weyu, the ancient name made her feel like she belonged.